I think I know the words to it, but I think that's the name of the song, A Passion for Thee, isn't it? Good song. Good. Young people, if you're heading out, now's the time to do it. Otherwise, let's get our Bibles and get them open to John chapter 14, please. John chapter 14. Again, John chapter 14, a lot of the passage, again, that was read is very familiar to us. I think we've done some memory work there, have we not, in John chapter 14? But again, a great passage with some great verses. But sometimes we only read the first six verses, do we not? We don't go on. It's just you just got to stop at verse 6 for some reason. But again, we went on, and I believe we need to. I do know one time, I was at a place where somebody started reading this, and they got down to about verse 4 and stopped. And I thought, you just can't do that. Whenever you start at verse 1, you got to at least go to verse 6, do you not? When Jesus says, you know where I'm going, and sure enough, Thomas says, no, we don't. And you got to get the answer. Where are we going? How are you going to get there? And so again, it's awful hard to stop before verse 6, but a lot of times that's where we stop after we've read it. But I want to go on, and again, we've read the other parts here. I've called this Hope in a Hopeless Hour, Hopeless World, however you want to call it. I don't know when people look forward and what they're looking at in 2015, what's going to happen and all that. Do you look forward to it, or do you just think, oh, it just looks like it's going to be rough or whatever? I don't know what bad news you've already received when 2015 went in. I don't know. You know, I heard somebody say that a new 10-cent gas tax is supposed to kick in, and even though the price of oil's going down, gas is going to go up because we're going to get charged 10 more cents for it or whatever. That didn't sound good. Did that sound good to any of you or whatever? So already you get different news or whatever. I don't know. Little leery about the change of governor in Pennsylvania. Anybody else with me on that? Okay, I don't want to be political, but a little nervous about it. And, of course, I did not see this man come out and take a good stand, again, for private or Christian education. Haven't seen him do that. And so a little nervous in that fact. And so, you know, 2015, when you look forward to it or whatever, I don't know if we look forward to it with good things or bad things. I don't know. You get somebody in here. I think, Michaela, you're a senior, are you not? You know, 2015, she's looking to get out of school. You know, this would be the last time she's got to go back after Christmas vacation in the high school or whatever. She's done. Here we go or whatever. So some people have good things to look forward to. Sometimes it's with mixed. But mixed reviews, how we look forward to a new year. But again, there's always hope. We've got a good Savior. And as long as Jesus is in control, as long as He's on the throne, which I don't see that ever not being true, we've got hope. So I just wanted to talk here, again, speak on John 14. But here's also the thing I want to do. This sermon's like the transition sermon between the last year being a year of hope, put hope in our Lord, to transitioning to getting to know Him better. And I think you find both hope and then the idea of we need to get to know Him better. Now, look at this passage. This is a great passage because Jesus is laying down in this passage to His disciples, and this is just hours before He's going to die on the cross. He's trying to seal up His teaching and make sure they know things. And this is a great passage on the identity of Jesus Christ and His identity with or in the Father, or as the God, the deity of Christ, as He's deity. And He's making sure that they know, you know, you need to know who I am. If He's just a man, then there's nothing to be hopeful for. I mean, when you look at the verse there, you know, let not your heart be troubled. Again, you can look over in verse 27, same chapter, 14:27. Let not your heart what? Be troubled. But I'm telling you, if He is not one with the Father, then you better be troubled big time. We have no hope in this world. We're still accountable for our sins because they've not been paid for. So this is a great passage as He seals down with them and gets it confirmed hours before He dies, who I am. Again, I am the Father. And again, as we'll go through, you can see, you know, Philip saying, you know, show us the Father. And Jesus is sort of like, I've been with you for 3.5 years. I've taught you about who I am. You've seen the great things that I've done. Okay, if you've seen me, you've what? Seen the Father.
And there's that great identity of Jesus Christ and God there together. And so again, what a great passage. The other thing is, some of the teaching that Jesus has done in the last few days or even in the last few hours has not been very easy for the disciples to hear. They hear he's going to die. Now, as much as Peter and the other ones didn't want to believe it and wanted to try to stop it, he's going to die. Also, he's letting them know, I'm leaving. And I'm not going to be here anymore. And he's going to continue to teach in chapters 15 and 16 about sending the Holy Spirit after he's gone. But again, they're hearing the news, I'm going to die. I'm leaving you. This is it. Okay? And so again, he's trying to get them ready, and that's why he starts out, let not your heart be troubled. I don't know, maybe some of you hear it. I don't watch him much or whatever, but hasn't Sean Hannity on Fox kind of taken over this motto? I hear him say it more than anybody in this world. He's not, I hope he knows the Lord. I know he professes to be a Catholic. I don't know. But he says all the time, let not your heart be troubled. You know? And that's what we need to hear right now. There could be some tough days ahead, but let not your heart be troubled. I want to give you three reasons why you don't want to let your heart be troubled. As I look at this passage, again, this is not to be an extensive expository sermon on this passage, but I want to give you three things, first of all, to start out with, why we should see that there's hope for tomorrow. As we look ahead, there's hope for tomorrow. First of all, we've got a heavenly home. We've got a heavenly home. Look what it says there as we get in there. In my Father's house are many mansions. Now, I'm going to concentrate on a different word than we usually concentrate. Usually when you hear Jesus say, in my Father's house are many mansions, what do we concentrate on right away? Mansions. You know, I've got a mansion. Just what? Over the hilltop. And then I think somebody else wrote a song. I don't know how it quite goes, but I'm not worried about the mansion. I just want a cottage in the corner. Okay? Have you ever heard that song? I heard somebody sing one time, I just need a cottage in the corner. All right? And he said he didn't really need a mansion. But in my Father's house are mansions. And we get all up about that. But notice what I saw this time as I read it. In my Father's house are many mansions. Can I give you a great fear that a lot of people have? And we don't have to have this fear when it comes to heaven. It's the fear of not getting something. Being left out. Are being too far back in line that they run out before we get it. Anybody with me? Because there's a lot of people that don't like that. We just went through a time, and I don't know what the famous day is anymore. It used to be like Black Friday and all that. But what was it all about Black Friday? People put specials out there. They were really great deals, but they only had what? So many of them. So many that you had to start lining up at the door long time before they opened it. Am I right about that? Okay. I got two instances where that happened. Not that I was involved in both of them, but I remember when Curtis got his flat screen TV years ago. Okay. I guess when we were done eating Thanksgiving dinner or whatever, he left for Sears. It was closed. He took a lawn chair and he sat it right down there in Sears. And he sat down, and for the longest time, he was the only one there. And then he decided, well, this is crazy. I'm out here freezing. So he just went over and got in the car, but left his chair there. And then when somebody else showed up, he went back and sat in the chair. They let him know, I'm first, or whatever. And sure enough, back, and this was a long time ago. Okay, it was a long time ago he did this. I don't know how many years ago it was. But this was back before flat-screen TVs were in everybody's house. In fact, nobody had them. Are you with me? And all of a sudden, he comes home with this flat-screen TV, and didn't pay much for it, you know, but they only had a couple of them. And since he sat in that chair at that door, he got one, you know. Well, what happened to somebody? Somebody showed up, got in line, went in the doors, and after they got in there, what did they find out? I was in the wrong spot in line. The guy in front of me got one. I didn't. The other time Curtis did something, and this time he drugged me with him, and again, not that I wanted it, but when he bought his laptop computer, Walmart had like 12 laptop, didn't like, they had 12 laptop, okay, 12 laptop computers for a really good deal. He was getting ready to head off to college, and he said, I'd really like to have one. So sure enough, we did the same thing again. Dinner was over, headed for Walmart. Here's the difference at Walmart and Sears. Walmart was open. Okay? We didn't get the line up at the door. It was open. Okay? And they had pallets with black plastic wrapped around them. I can remember this, okay? And you'd ask people, well, where, you know, a lot of ladies were like, where's that certain doll you're selling? Well, we can't tell you where anything is. Okay? Then I saw men with penknives start cutting black plastic. You know what I'm talking about. But we were back, okay, in the computer department or back in the video place, you know, electronics, wherever. We were back there, and Curtis said, from what I understand, I'm number two on the list for getting a computer. You know, somebody was here ahead of us, but I'm number two. And we were there, and I said, well, hey, stand in line, but I'm going to walk around and look at things and just see what's happening. You know, I'm going to spend the night here because I don't think things opened up till 6 o'clock. And, folks, this is like a 10:30 at night, you know, so I'm just going to be around. You know, I like the shoe department. They had a place to sit. You know what I'm saying? They had a place to sit. So I spent a lot of time. In fact, I think I ended up buying a pair of boots that night. Just sat there long enough, a pair of boots caught my fancy. So I bought a pair of boots. They weren't on sale, I think. But I was sitting around, and I'd go back and check on him. And then I was back there with him or whatever. And a guy in the electronic department said, if you're here from computer, we're not selling them here. They're being sold at the service desk. Man, Curtis took off. I mean, he just took off. And other people were running, too, or whatever. They just took off. And I didn't run. I got to the front, and sure enough, he was the number two guy there. And I said to him, I said, well, how'd you do? He said, I took a wrong turn at the cigarette aisle and had to go over it. I went and looked at the cigarette aisle, and it was like here or whatever. And I was like, oh, my. He goes, I didn't care what happened to the cigarette aisle. But he was number two. So he's number two, and I talked to him, and people are lined up down past the hair salon. You know what I'm saying? If you know the Walmart and Benner Pike, they're lined up down there. There's way more than 12. And I went off and I did things or whatever and did some shopping, looking around, talking to people, you know, just having a good time. I came back one time and I stood there with him. All of a sudden, this guy down the line says, hey, who are you? I say, okay, what? What's going on? He goes, I'm sorry, but I'm number 12. And if you cut in line right there, I'm not. And I realized at this point in time, if I said to him, so what are you going to do about it? There's going to be a big fight. And I told him, this is my son here, and he's already in number two line. I'm not buying a computer. If you're number 12, you're okay. I'm not jumping in line. And he was good with that. But you can see the tensions that were going on there. And they were hoping maybe there was more than that. I was standing up there, and then a lady said, now how many of you in the first 12 are putting this on layaway? And somebody back like at number 14 said, what? I've got cash. I don't want to hear somebody in front of me is putting it on layaway. No way. I mean, things are getting tight. You know, I was like, Curtis, I'm leaving. God bless you. No. Now, is everybody following me? Have you ever been in situations like this? Watch, where there's limited quantities, limited amounts, only so many. It gets tight real quick. Okay? I mean, here at church sometimes, you know, I'm not too worried getting first of the line or whatever. Sometimes you make me get first in the line, but then people come out and say, Pastor, they're running out of deviled eggs. You better get in there. Okay? And I'm like, oh, we got three. No, I jump line for them. But again, you understand that, you know, there's limited quantities, only so many, only so long. And we get nervous and we want to be in that place where what? We're not left out. And there's one for us or whatever. I can remember at a church, I'm not all good. Did anybody know that I'm not all good? But I remember being at a church meal. It wasn't here, so you don't have to worry. It was one of your kids or whatever. But I really wasn't first in line or whatever. And it was an international meal, so you had to bring something international. And Ben Turner, again, a single man who was our treasurer, whenever he had to bring something international, he went to Kentucky Fried Chicken. Okay, and he figured Kentucky Fried was international. And we let him because he would buy, you know, two buckets or buckets of chicken and bring them in. That was good enough for us, you know. And I can remember that one family in particular always ran to be first. Okay, always ran to be first. And basically the mother said, well, my kid doesn't like very much. So we always get up there first so he can make sure that what he does like, he can get it. One of the things the guy liked was Kentucky Fried. Okay. And I can remember basically being in line coming through, and as I got to the bucket or whatever, there was one thigh left. And I thought, well, I'm last in line, that's mine. The kid runs up, and he starts to get it out. And I said, I'll beat you up over that piece. And he goes, no, you won't. He didn't know me. I said, put it back. You've already had one. It's mine. And he's like, but then I just took it out of his hand, put it on my plate. He didn't understand. I had this thing counted. That was my piece. Now, I know all of you looking at me like, Pastor, you didn't do that. Yes, I did. Okay? It was my piece of chicken. And I was getting ready to get it when he ran in and tried to steal in front of me. Now, watch this. How would you have acted? Now, you might not say, well, Pastor, I wouldn't have been that way, but you'd be telling a story. Guess what he did? I can't believe he did this. It was my piece of chicken. Okay? I just didn't go tell people about it. I took it from him. Okay? It's my chicken. In my Father's house are many mansions. I don't know how you like to paraphrase things. I don't know how you like to put things in principles. But here's Jesus basically saying, don't be troubled. There is a place for everybody in my house. Isn't it funny? A number of years ago, that the Jehovah's Witnesses used to say that only 144,000 people could go to heaven. That's back when they were small. Then all of a sudden, what happened? Their membership got over 144,000. What do you say to number 144,001? What do you say to him? Well, they changed their doctrines, did they not? Changed their teaching all of a sudden. But Jesus said, don't be troubled. In my house are what? Many mansions. There's enough for everybody. Don't you have to be worried about it? Now, there's a lot of things in this life, and you mark me out from this day forward. There are things that you're going to get worried about that you may not get in on because they're limited. But notice heaven is unlimited. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord, there's a place for you in heaven. If somebody say, well, what if from the beginning of creation to the close of it, everybody got saved? There'd be room for everybody. There'd be room. So again, as I look at here and look for hope, I just want to show you that there's more than enough room in my Father's house. It's not going to be a crowded place. Not because not many people are going there. No, because this place is big and can accommodate everybody. Come on. Let's go. There's room for everybody. So that's a great hope, is it not? To know that you didn't miss the timeline. You didn't miss the scheduling. You didn't miss the quantity that was being given out or whatever. There's enough for everybody. Doesn't that just calm you down? Could you imagine all of a sudden if we were at Walmart and somebody would have said to that group that was getting frustrated and mean, hey, a truck just pulled in and we have enough computers on it for everybody. That would have just settled everybody's emotions just down a little bit. I'm here to tell you, in my Father's house are what? Many mansions. What a great hope we have. So the first hope we have for tomorrow is we have a heavenly home. And we're not going to run out of rooms or places to stay or mansions, however you want to look at it. It's all there. What a hope we have as we go home. I want to concentrate on that though, but folks, notice it is a home going. It is a home going. Okay? Now, I just kind of put it this way. Home is the place where you like to go. Home is the place where you like to go. When you're away, going home is really nice. I don't know what statements you make about it, but there's nothing like sleeping in your own bed. Am I right about that? Having all things. Oh, I like traveling too. I really do like traveling, okay? But it's good to go home. And I tell people maybe it makes home that much more precious because you've been away. But I like to travel, but I do like to go home. And so for the child of God, if I could just put it this way, the hope that we have, death is not the end. It's not the end. It's just simply a time to go home. Isn't that wonderful? That's a great hope we have. The second hope I give you, again, is the heavenly hope. That as we live through this world, as we live right now, Jesus could come back, maybe even today. And Titus calls that, in Titus 2:13, we're looking for the what? blessed hope in the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So the second hope we have for tomorrow is Jesus could come back. I don't know about you, but every time I go to a new year, one of the thoughts that comes to me is it this year? Is it this year? It didn't happen in 2014, okay? Now, I don't know. You can shake your head, you can smile, you can look at me. And usually it's going to be those of us who are older. You ready for this? How many of you thought he maybe should have already come back by now in your thinking? You know, as you were younger and you were looking forward, that you were thinking, wow, 2014, I don't know if the world's going to last that long. He might come back before then. But he didn't. Now, I'm not going to get into the theology of why he doesn't, but I'm just telling you, every time God delays, somebody else gets saved. That's pretty good, isn't it? But it could be this year. We're looking for that glorious hope, that blessed hope, that wonderful appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's look forward to that. Again, I know that there's in the Bible, there's rewards for those who look forward to His coming. There's those who look forward, and Jesus said there's a reward, there's a crown for that. Are you looking for that blessed hope? It could happen today. And I'm just going to tell you what, folks. If the rapture takes place today, or if it takes place tomorrow, or if it takes place in 2015, things for me are going to get a whole lot better. They're going to get a whole lot better. Anybody else with me? What's somebody say? I'm not looking for the undertaker. I'm looking for the what? The upper taker. I'm looking for the upper taker. Again, so the first hope we have for tomorrow is we do have a home. It's reserved in heaven for us. And there's room for us, plenty of room. Second thing is we have a heavenly hope Jesus is going to come. The third hope I have for tomorrow is a homecoming. We have a home, we have a hope, and we have a homecoming. Jesus says in verse 3, John 14, 3, I will receive you unto myself. Isn't that wonderful? I don't know about you, but I don't think there's anybody out there called the Grim Reaper when it comes to me. I'm not looking up. Folks, if you want to dress yourself up in a robe and put on a face mask and carry a sickle around, you're not scaring me. Because the Grim Reaper's not coming for me. Jesus said, I'll do what? I'll come for you. I'm looking for Him to come in the rapture, but if He doesn't come in the rapture, He'll come to take me home someday. I think about that one also. For me, could that be 2015? Are you ready if it is? But we get to go home. Absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord. I know that sometimes I've even set up that little scenario, oh, if you die and stand in front of heaven's gates. I'm not looking to see heaven's gates, folks. I'm looking for a person. I'm going to go be with Jesus. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. But then the other verse I like is, again, 1 Thessalonians 4:17. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Again, those who have died in Christ, those who are going to be resurrected with us, who are still alive, all of us who know Jesus Christ our Savior, whether sleeping, dead, or alive, we will forever be with the Lord. What a homecoming. In 2014, I'm not trying to be sentimental or anything. Who did you say goodbye to in 2014? Some of us said goodbye to somebody in 2014. But you know what? When Jesus comes, or when He comes for us as we die, we're going to go meet some people. And we're going to be together absolutely forever. Isn't that amazing? Okay, I've said it before. I know I'm a broken record on some things or whatever. I know I look at certain things about heaven that look neat and look beautiful and look wonderful. But I think the best thing about heaven is going to be the people. You know what? If you're really into jewelry, I guess you're going to love the place. Okay, am I right about that? I'm not sure about those of you who like to hunt and fish. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know. Okay? I'm not real sure about that one. Okay, that's just tough, is it not? I guess there'll be a lot of target practice in heaven. I'm not sure about hunting and fishing. But those of you who are into jewelry, seems like a great place to go. Some of you seem to be into architecture. If you're into, again, horticulture and plants and flowers and all that, seems like a great place to go, does it not? But I'm telling you this, if you like people, this really seems like a place to go. It really does. Loved ones that have gone on ahead of us, again, Bible figures, great people of history have known the Lord. Again, we're all going to be together with the Lord. What a homecoming. And you know what we never have to do with that homecoming? We don't ever have to say goodbye. Wow. Wow. Now, I don't know. I've said this in a selfish way. I know it's selfish. But the more I see wonderful Christians around me go home to be with the Lord, the much better it'll make when I have to go up there. Boy, I'd hate to go to heaven when I died young or whatever and say, I don't know anybody. Okay? I know the Lord. But you know, I've got some really precious people I've met in this lifetime. And they're up there, are they not? They're up there. What a homecoming. What a great place to go. Folks, there's hope for tomorrow. Even if you think 2015 on this earth is going to be a rough place, we've got a hope beyond this earth. A hope of a heavenly home. Again, a hope of Jesus coming. And we've got a hope of a homecoming. But then also in this passage, not only do I see help for tomorrow, I see help for today. I see help for today. The biggest help that I need is salvation. As you live in this earth, the biggest help you need is you need help to be saved, because you can't do it on your own. As you go down through this passage, it's very easy. You should know this, do you not? There is only one plan of salvation for all men. John 14:6 is probably soon going to be the greatest hated verse in the Bible by the world. They're not going to want us here that Jesus is the only way to the Father. They don't want to hear that the religion they're in, or their hopes, or their philosophies aren't going to get them there. Not going to get them there. Okay? It's only one way. It's through Jesus. And that's the salvation that we need. Again, Jesus is the only means of salvation for all humanity. And again, faith in His finished work is what gets us to heaven. I just put down three questions. They're simple little questions. You may know the answers, but it goes along with John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. The first question I have is, how can I be saved? The answer is, Jesus is the way. You need to go to Him. And again, just tell Him that you know you're a sinner. You know that He died on the cross to pay for your sins, and invite Him into your heart, invite Him into your life. To die. He died for you, and He'll save you. And Romans 10:13 makes it pretty easy. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How can I be saved? Jesus is the way. Here's my second question. How can I be sure? I hear people saying, well, maybe it's through Allah, and maybe it's through Hindus, and maybe it's through Buddha. How can I be sure? Jesus said, not only am I the way, I am the what? Truth. Do you need a dose of truth right now? The dose of truth is Jesus never lies. He will not lie to you. Again, early in the passage, didn't He say, if it were not so, how's He finish it? I would have told you. Jesus deals in truth. How can I be sure He's the only way? Because Jesus doesn't lie. And again, you look at some of the promises, you look at some of the things Jesus said, and they were unbelievable that He said them, and yet they came true. He said, if you take this body and you destroy it, in 3 days I'll do what? Raise it up again. That's unbelievable. That can't be done. 3 days later, that unbelievable truth was known. He did rise from the dead. He did it. Now, as I tell people, He made some big claims, and then He backed them up with the truth. And when He made claims that, hey, the Father's in me and I in Him, and even in this verse, He said, believe me for the works that I do. Nobody can do these except I'm God. And so how can I be sure that Jesus is the way? He's the truth. He wouldn't lie to you. Now, again, if you've taken Him to His word, do you find Him to be true? I have. Again, Jesus is true. The last question I have is, how can I be satisfied? Number one, how can I be saved? Jesus is the way. How can I be sure? Jesus is the truth. How can I be satisfied? He is the what? The life. Jesus said, I came down here not to just give them life, but to give it to them more abundantly. And you know what? I don't know about you. I was in a game a couple weeks ago, sort of like a newlywed game. Okay? And my wife was asked the question, if your husband could be anybody else, who would he be? In history alive or whatever, if your husband could be anybody, alive or dead, who would he be? And she's like, he has never talked about this. He's never ever wished he could be somebody else or be this or that or whatever. You know? And then they came to me and they go, if you could be anybody, alive or dead, who would you be? I'm like, man, I've never thought about that one. I don't know. Well, your wife did come up with some kind of answer. I got to come up with an answer, okay? I was like, man, who would I be? I've never thought about being somebody else. Have you? I'm going to just tell you something. The life that God's given me is pretty good. It really is good. Okay? Not that I'm good, but His gospel is just amazing. You're all dying and say, well, who did you say? I was like, well, I'm going to go with some guy that ran around the woods or whatever. So I went with Daniel Boone. What did you put down or whatever? Yeah, Benaiah in the Bible. She said, well, he likes Benaiah in the Bible. Being Daniel Boone, I don't know, man. He didn't have a microwave. He didn't have a car. I mean, there's a lot of things Daniel Boone didn't have. I'm not willing to trade places. Benaiah back in the Bible, I don't know. Those are tough days, were they not? Okay, you understand what I'm saying? I like where I live. I like where I am. I like the time period I'm in. It's pretty good, is it not? You know, how can I be satisfied? Can I just give it to you? Jesus is the life. Live it with Him. You can't find a better life than living. Now, I know that maybe some people say, well, Pastor, then you can't do this, this, and this, and this. And I tell people, one of the greatest things I like about my life is I can do some really fun things on Saturday night and get up on Sunday and not regret what I did Saturday night. I don't regret what I did. I had a good time. Not that I lived the perfect life. Not that I'm holy and sanctified. But I don't live a life that all of a sudden in the morning, oh, I can't believe what I did last night. Just walk with Jesus. He's the life. Live the life that He is. By the way, I can take you to verses in Romans chapter 12. His will is good, acceptable, and what? Perfect. G-A-P. That's the gap theory right there, folks. It's good, acceptable, and perfect. So again, how about you? Walk with Jesus. And I do find out the times in my life when it gets hard is usually the times I walk away from Him. The Bible says the way of the sinner is hard. The way of the sinner is hard. Now, I know the Christian life has its difficulties. I know it has its rough times. In this world, Jesus said, you'll have tribulation. I understand that. But I've got somebody to walk with me and carry me through those tribulations. Hope for today. Jesus can satisfy. How can I be saved? He's the way. How can I be sure? He's the truth. How can I be satisfied? He's the life. The next part I have him here for help. Not only do we have help in salvation, but we have help for service. We have help for service. Jesus does not try to tell us to go and do something and do it on your own. Again, as you look at some verses here, I just put down here, help for service. Jesus hears us when we call on Him. I put down 1 John 5:14. Do you know this? And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Okay? Now, my wife and I, we do well, but there's some problems in our marriage. Are you ready for this? I'm going to give you some problems in our marriage, because she's probably back there shrieking right now, okay? Okay, right now, there are some, like, really neat football games on TV. Is everybody with me on that? There's some neat football games. And the problem is, my wife talks to me. I didn't hear. Any other wives want to put your hands up and go, you know what you're talking about, okay? You know? And then and there's times I literally just say, I know you're talking to me, I'm not listening, or I'm not hearing. And you might say, well, Pastor, you need counseling. Okay? But there's times I'm into it, I'm watching something, okay? You know, and I'm really, and I know she's talking, I know she's saying something, but I'm worried about this, okay? And it's more this way than that way, okay? I don't, usually when I talk, she hears me, okay? But there's times she's talking, man, I'm watching something here. I'm watching something important. I mean, come on, folks. It is overtime, and Penn State is tied. I don't have ADD at that time. I am focused on one thing, okay? I mean, they couldn't have won without me. You know that, right? Okay? And if you start to talk to me, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. So sometimes it's because my mind is on something else. Sometimes it's a distance problem. Anybody else have a distance problem? We have this little walk-in closet tied onto our bedroom. You know, you go in the bedroom, then go back to this walk-in closet, and she's way in the kitchen. So, I mean, if you think about the sound waves, when she's in the kitchen, I'm in the walk-in. I mean, look how many walls they got to bounce off just to get into that thing. And I'll tell her, honey, I know you're talking to me, but I was back in the closet. You know, sometimes it's a distance problem. Because I wasn't right there. I was too far away. And she thought, oh, I thought you were, no, I'd gone back in to get something out of the closet or whatever. Can I tell you something? Do you ever have that problem with God? Can you talk to God and all of a sudden God says, whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm sorry, I was listening to somebody else. Oh, I was paying attention to something else. Or I was doing something else and I didn't hear you. Okay? What would you think at that time? Wow. So if I go and serve Jesus and get myself in a tough spot and I need His help and I cry out, He can't hear me. How does He know I need help? Or, well, He's far away right now. He's away from the phone. Can I use those words? Folks, when you live with Jesus and serve Him, if we call Him, He will hear us. I want to go on that. Not only will He hear us, He will help us. He will help us. We memorized the verse, did we not? Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Not only does He hear us, He helps us. And a lot of times His help is really quick. Shortest prayer in the Bible. Do you know what it is? Lord, help me. Peter is sinking below the waves. Lord, help me. Immediately, Jesus stretched forth His hand and pulled him up. He hears, He helps. I'm so glad. Again, you look there, if you will, at John 14:14. As you need His help, Jesus says, what? I will do it. I'll do it. He also says in verse 13, that will I do. So in verse 13, that will I do. Verse 14, I will do it. Not only does He hear, but He helps. And then a part that I have here is, as I just kind of thought about this, I am so glad that when I serve God, I don't have to figure out how to do everything. You know, one of the things that sometimes is hard to do is when you're in a situation and you're the only person that can do the work right now, or you're the only person, there's nobody around, it's up to you. And you really don't have any, you don't have no idea how to do it. Okay? But you know, I'm glad that when you serve God, it's not left up to us to find the best way to do something. Call unto me. I'll answer you. And show you what? Great mighty things which thou knowest not. You know? He'll help us with that. And so I put down there, not only will He hear us, not only will He help us, but He will honor us. If you'll notice there, Jesus says that, again, you will do greater works. Look at verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do. Greater works than Jesus does. Jesus says, I've done some great things, but you can do greater works than this. Greater works than this. I got to put down here, well, how does that work? Well, I'm going to put this here, first of all, in quantity. Just thought about it. Quantity. Again, when Jesus was here, again, He was limited to one geographical location, if I can put that, or whatever. However, when He ascended back into heaven, He sent the Holy Spirit to indwell His people, and He has the ability to be in many places, working many different things. Do you ever stop and think about that? Jesus said, when I go away, but when you need help, you're going to do greater works than I do, and in quantity. I mean, when Jesus was on His earth, literally, when Jesus was on this earth, how many sermons could He preach this morning? One. At most, how many people could hear Him? Now, He preached to crowds of what? Thousands. Am I right about that? He preached to crowds of thousands. But this morning, as men filled with the Holy Spirit, taking a Holy Spirit written book, preached this morning, how many people heard the Word of God this morning? A lot greater. So if somebody says, well, how can we do greater works than Jesus? I think just in quantity, we can do great works, can we not? But the other thing I had was also in quality. And I know it's not what you think it is. You know, oh, we can do things better than Jesus. I mean, He raised people from the dead. We can do it better than Him. No. But you know, there's a lot of things that Jesus did on this earth that grabbed people's attention that literally, okay, weren't that great. Just listen. He fed 5,000 people, besides women and children, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Are you ready? How long that last? How long does it take you to get hungry? How many of you ate breakfast and you're thinking, I'm getting hungry right now? Great miracle. Wonderful miracle. I'm going to stop and think with me. Wonderful miracle. How long it last? Till lunch was over. Supper. They're hungry again. You go out and talk to somebody about Jesus. And they accept Jesus as their Savior and get saved. Somebody tell me how long that lasts. Till supper? I think it lasts forever. Am I right about that? And I will give on them the eternal life. And they shall never perish. Again, I know there's a promise in the Bible that if you have faith of the grain of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. In the total scheme of things, if you moved a mountain, okay, let's say you could move this mountain, where would you take it? Florida? Okay, after the ice storm, maybe. But if you could move a mountain in the grand scheme of all of time and eternity, how big is that? Versus seeing somebody get saved. If you came to me and said, Pastor, would you rather see somebody get saved or would you rather see a mountain moved? I think I'd rather see somebody get saved, wouldn't you? And yet we think moving mountains is big. Again, Jesus went around healing a lot of people. Wonderful. Wonderful. But you know what? I think everybody that Jesus healed died. Even people he rose back from the dead, what happened to them? Died. Though they're wonderful miracles, you want to do something in quality better than that? Talk to people about Jesus and see them get saved. There's no greater miracle than a soul who's headed for hell gets turned and is headed for heaven. What a change. So when you say, boy, I wish I could do this, I wish I had this power, let's just tell people about Jesus. That's hope. It's better than anything else that could happen right now. Whether we heal somebody, and I know sometimes we pray for people to get healed, but I also know this. Some of the people that we pray for to get healed aren't getting healed. They're going to go home. Is that good? There's going to come a time in my life, I guess, if it's a disease that God's taken me out with, I'm going to get sick. People may pray that I get better. I'm not going to get better. I'm going home. And I've kind of told those around me, let me go. Let me go. Okay? When it gets to a point, let me go. I want to go home. Okay? So again, we can do greater works in service. What we need here, and again, I just close with this because it sets it up for the year. Again, we go back to that question in verse 9. When Jesus says in this passage, I've been with you for a long time, and yet you don't know me. I'm going to tell you that it may be Philip's name that's written in there, but it could be me. Because there's times that I live my life as if I really don't know Jesus. I get worried about things. Anybody else get worried? I'm probably the only one in this room that worries about anything, right? Okay. In fact, I think it goes the other way. I'm like the guy that doesn't worry. You know, my wife says I have to worry twice as much because you won't. Okay? And I said to somebody, isn't it true 90% of the things you worry about don't come true? And so I thought that's why you don't worry. But other people said, no, that's why you do worry. Because then when you worry about them, then they don't come true. And I was like, oh, I didn't see that one coming. That's a little hard for some of you this morning, right? Okay? I don't know God when I start worrying. I don't know Him. I need to know Him better. Because if I knew Him, I'd stop it. When I start doubting, I need to know Him better. And that's why I think we're going to do, getting to know our God. Let's learn more about this wonderful God who loves us. How many of you think God's a bully? Just waiting for you to step out of line so He can smack you upside the head? Where'd you learn that? I've got a God that loves us. I've got a God that loves us. So again, we've got hope for tomorrow. We've got a home, a hope. Again, we've got a homecoming. We've got help for today, whether it be salvation or for service. There's hope for 2015. But I think what we really need to do is learn more about my great God. And at the end of this year, I can say, God, I really know you better than I knew you in the early years, in the early days. I know you better. And because I know you better, I've got more hope. Father, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to have hope. Lord, we know that you're a great God. You love us. But sometimes we're just not so sure. Lord, we know that you can do a lot and you take care of us, but sometimes we're not so sure. So, Lord, I pray that you will increase our knowledge of you this year, our trust in you, and, Lord, that will increase our hope. Lord, I pray that everybody here knows Jesus as their Savior. If they don't, Lord, to pass through this life to eternity without that hope of knowing Jesus, then that's despair. Lord, I pray that each person here knows Jesus Christ, put their faith and trust in Him. But Lord, as we walk in this world, Lord, hear us when we pray. Help us when we pray. Lord, do great works in our lives so that people can see you. We thank you for Jesus. May we live this life walking side by side with Him. In His name we pray. Amen.